You're listening to a Countout Podcast.
Hello and welcome to Jumping Knee Pod, a modern day All Japan Pro Wrestling podcast. I'm your host, Jessica, and today with me is Rachel.
Hello, everyone.
Today we have a very special episode for you as it is the end of year awards, or the Jumpy Awards, as we call it. It was coined by Dylan Fox, so thank you for that. So who will win the prestigious Jumpy? We shall soon find out. But before that, we have one more show to go over before the year ends. It's the New Year's Eve show, so we'll talk about that. Lucky for us, we'll both be at the show alongside our fellow Australian and podcast guest, Jonathan Foy. And speaking of Jonathan, do you know he has a new book coming out called Freedom of Faith about Noah? I know I talked about it on the last episode, but, you know, I still want to plug it. He's my friend. He's written two before. He's got the Mudo Years and Genbaru. So when you're waiting for this book, check those two out. You can find them on Amazon and it's on Kindle Unlimited. So you have that. It's free. But yeah, other than that, I'll run down the card for you guys. So we start with the junior opener. Asio Yagi, Rising Hayato, Dan Tamura, and Ryu Inoue versus Kurama, Niriki Doi, Fuminori Abe, and Sega Tachibana. We have the New Year's Eve Battle Royale up next. And the participants are Aja Kong, Dap Matsumoto, Kara Sato, Senior Sato, Kengo Mashimo, Takashi, Kurisho Tokyo Japan, Azawa No. 1, Jack Kennedy, and Kikutaro. Tag match with Hideki Suzuki and Yuka Miyamoto versus Ricky Honda and Shota Kafuji. We got a three-way tag match with Zion, Odyssey, and Shota Ishino versus Reni Abe, Talos, and Daisuke Sakamoto versus Hokuto More, Kuma Arashi, and a returning Cyrus. A special singles match sees Jun Sato take on Go Shiozaki. The All-Asia Tag titles are on the line as Musashi and Seki Yoshioka defend against the Dragon Gate team of Ishin and Yoshiki Kato. And in the main event, we have Kento Miihara defending the Triple Crown against Yuma Anzai. So what do you think are maybe top two, top three matches people should look out for?
Probably the last three that you listed, actually. There's a sort of unplanned match between Go and Jun Saito, which I guess they've been planning all along because Jun sort of dropped out of the running of his own accord for the Triple Crown match, which is fine because he's already had two matches with Kento this year.
I think
that's plenty. I don't need to see again, but you know, Go versus Jun is a very something we haven't seen before.
Yeah.
And it's going to be very interesting, I think. And also the All Asia Tag titles. I'm really looking forward to this Dragon Gate invasion that's happening right now, especially after the last show at Korakuen where Yoshiki Kato rolled up the crowd. I don't know if you got the part where he's basically a ex-cop, and his jurisdiction was Matsumoto City in Nagano Prefecture, which is famous for where the Aoyagi brothers come from. So playing on the whole, there's, you know, if you don't know already, there's a whole traffic incident with Yuma Aoyagi. I can probably talk about it more later, but he basically used it as fodder to say, All Japan rejected me for the tryouts, and then so I went to my next dream was to become a police officer, which happened to be, and then I was, sent to Matsumoto. And so in Matsumoto, because it's a car city, there's lots of traffic accidents. Everyone's like, boo.
Stop, like, blow, boo. Blow.
So he's got nothing to do with All Japan. I was like, that was so funny. I know it upset some people, but I think it was very funny. I think it's better to talk about people and not talk about them.
Mm.
So, yeah. And then, of course, the Triple Crown match that's happening, Kento versus Anzai, which I'm looking forward to. Anzai has really taken on this whole thing of him being the, I guess, a lone wolf since Yuma Aoyagi ended up having to forfeit his whole tag team kind of partnership. So Anzai has basically taken it all upon his shoulders that now it's the time, right time for me to challenge Kento. And that's what's going to happen on New Year's Eve in the main event.
Yeah, I agree with you. Like the last three matches look really, really good. I know. I said on the last time, like the most important note I have is like Aja Kong will be here. I just love when she comes in and just hits everybody with her metal can. Like, you know, they deserve it to be hit with it. Like then you
Dump's gonna hit everyone too with her stick, so I can't wait.
The New Year's Eve Battle Royale is a bit stupid. Like, you know, it's just it's some fun to end the year on, you know. I know some people don't like it, but they're not fun.
I was like,
So
Mushroom, what are you doing there?
yeah, you should be in a serious match. Maybe he'll win.
Yeah, that'd be good.
But yeah, all Asia tag titles, like the Dragon Gate Boys have just been like a welcomed menace. Like,
I
I
love
know.
Isshin. I really love
Yeah.
Isshin. Him and is like putting his finger up his nose all day long and
Yeah.
stuff.
No, I really, really enjoy it. I hope we get to see more Dragon Gate guys. Like Yuma Anzai said if he wins the belt, he will nominate Kuta as his first challenger. So I don't know.
Please.
Yeah. Do I want Yuma
I
to
don't
win
know
the
if
belt
it,
now?
I don't know if it, I personally want Anzai to win because he's basically doing it all in place. I feel like something was planned, and so now it's all been wrecked because his whole line is because it's all Yuma Aoyagi's fault. And then the other line is if you have any complaints, take them to Yuma Aoyagi. So that's what he keeps repeating. So
Yeah.
I really want him to win because he's really pushing this kind of like, you know, I didn't want to do it, but I'm gonna do it anyway kind of thing.
It's Yuma's fault. I'm in a Triple Crown match now. Yeah.
Everything is his fault. The whole, did you know about that Big Mac incident?
I heard like little snippets, but I don't know the whole story.
So, is that in Nagoya? In the at the mic at the end, he said, New Year's Eve is the year's last Big Mac. He meant to say big match. The first thing he did was like collapse and go, oh my God, what have I just done? And the backstage is like, I'm such an idiot. It's all Yuma's fault, Aoyagi's fault that I said Big Mac, basically. So everyone started buying like Big Macs. I do that myself as well.
I saw your picture.
So everyone bought Big Macs and started posting them online. And I think like he quickly posted a picture of himself eating one as well. And Hikaru Sato did like a quick Photoshop as well. So it's just the ongoing joke now. And then even Kakuta was riling him up, saying, yelling Big Mac in his face the other day. That's great.
That's really funny. Like, I feel like that's like the other Yuma would say. Like, but
I feel like he wouldn't have flubbed so hard. I think Anzai pretends to be cool, but in the end, he's still like, he's got like a goofy element to him. Like people keep saying that Anzai wants to become a comedic wrestler because of Aoyagi's influence in him, but that's not the fact. His personality is this like happy-go-lucky guy. He's also maybe a little bit clumsy sometimes.
yeah.
Yeah. Like he cut his finger the other day or something like that, and it was like showing off the band-aid. Like
He's not exactly the perfect wrestler, I think non-All Japan fans make him out to be.
Yeah.
Like
He's
you
not
do.
even a perfect man. He looks perfect, but he's actually not. Do you know what I mean?
No one is a perfect man. But
Exactly.
no, Anzai, I do really like him. You do see like a little bit of like a comedic side coming out of him. Like he isn't super serious. I just think he's really, really good. And like this whole Big Mac thing, like to take it, you know, and run with it and have the fans run with it is just such a fun thing.
Hopefully it just relaxes him because sometimes I see he's a little bit like tense, like nervous. So if you just like, I think it's really good just to bring out more of his own personality instead of trying to be cool all the time. Yeah. So, I mean, Kento's like that too, right? He's got a goofy side, he's got a serious, brutal side.
Whenever like someone mentions Kendo, I just want to say Kendo's the worst, but like
He is.
in a loving way.
Oh, you see, he's like a, what do you call it? He's a googly eyes that he makes all the time. Because I was talking to you about how, you know, when he's like having a joke because he pulls that face out.
No, you just have to watch like some of his YouTube content. Like there was, I don't know why this one is front of mind. There was one when he was in like the All Japan Dojo bath, and he was like, he had bath bombs. He was just trying to find out what was inside. He got so excited. Just see something like that. Like he's a Triple Crown champion. He's very serious in the ring, like when it's time to be. But then like in his off time, he's in the bath playing with bath bombs.
Was like the video, like, was it yesterday or something, where he's calling up Maeda from Tokyo Sports and going, "So about my award, Superstar was really busy earlier, but now I'm just returning your call. So who won? Where's my award?"
Oh yeah, we should mention that All Japan's over. I don't know if you haven't heard,
Oh
but
yeah.
they're over because they won no Tokyo Sport Awards.
What a
So
big fat zero was this year.
company closed.
So did Dragon Gate. I mean, like, I think it's more testament to like their level of talent, and you know, they're a really small company that they managed to win awards like the last few years since pandemic. Because even before that, they weren't necessarily winning many awards. I think with Jake won one, Kento won one 2019, but it was not like that many.
Yeah. I just think some people went over the top, overblown when like they saw All Japan have no awards. It's just like,
They're
does
like,
it
this is
really
what they
matter in the end?
deserve. I'm sorry, this has not got anything to do with stuff like that. It's like a panel of like, what do you call it? Like sports journalists and broadcasters and Kenta Kobashi and you know. So it's they're all their opinions. People get big fat zeros for their votes, like Takeshita and MVP. So, you know, whatever.
Well, they all are MVP, so
Yeah, they're all MVPs in our hearts.
yeah. Speaking of awards, it's our awards. It's the Jumpies, second annual Jumpies. So let's just get into it. So just like last year, I got previous Jumping Epoch guests to give their picks for end of year awards. Some have picks for all the awards, some have picks for just a couple, but that's fine. They could pick whatever they want. It's end of year. I'm not going to force them to do all awards. So I will give mine, then the guests, and then Rachel will give hers. We're going to start off with the wrestlers of the year. So heavyweight is our first, and I feel like my pick's boring. I just had to go with the ace, Kento Miihara. I think he bounced back from last year after Anzai had his time in the spotlight, and Kento kind of, he didn't really fade to the back, but he was still there. He led the younger generation push forward. But it's his time now. He is a Triple Crown champion. I'm going to see him as Triple Crown champion. I'm like so excited for that. He just shows up for everything. He's always, in the main event mix. His name's always top of the card if he wants it. He's ace. He's my pick for rest of the year. Dr. Jonathan and Dylan also picked Kento. Christy picked Jun Saito. So she just said with his long reign and the amount of title defenses he has. And the popularity this Saito has brought to All Japan, he's definitely for me. But personal enjoyment is Yuma Anzai. Luna picked Kento Miihara. Ruth picked Riki Honda. And Simone, he said Ray because he was given a lot of a responsibility for his first reign. But I think he means June. So correct me if I'm
I
wrong,
was like, I'm
Simone.
pretty sure, yeah,
Yeah.
Ray didn't win any Triple Crowns.
They're brothers. You can get their names confused. It's fine.
They can both have it.
Who do you pick?
So, I was kind of split, actually, on Jun and actually Aoyagi, because Jun actually spent like 266 days as champion from like the beginning of the year to like September 3 in Tachikawa, and he had 7 defenses, and I think he actually got better through his whole combined reign.
Yeah.
Because you had Yuma and Matsumoto at Honda in July, He had a really good match with Hideki in June in Korakuen, so that was like a totally different side of him, like because they were busy like slapping the crap out of each other. I think what I thought was really important was that he had the match with Rei in Sendai in June 1st, which is like the date after Taishin's accident. So he gave this very cryptic post-match mic speech saying like, wrestlers fight with their lives in their line. So before we actually knew what happened. So I think he leads by example, and his last match versus Kento and Tachikawa was probably his best. Yeah, like his trajectory was that he grew more finishes as his reign went on, although he hasn't really used them since. It's just like suddenly there's a finisher. Okay, I've beat Yuma, I beat Honda or something, and then his technique and his speed actually seemed to improve as he went along. Yeah, and he's like him and Ray have been like pretty influential. They've continued their TV show. They've been appearing on like regional and national TV. They've had this CD single photo book. They've just released another book as well about I think Miyagi spots that they went to on their Taxi Mesh show. So yeah, I mean, I think Saito, I was gonna say Saito Jun. Jun Saito is my top pick. And if you don't mind, I'll probably go through why. I mean, I'm clearly biased, but why I think Yuma Aoyagi is also probably my second top pick, even though it might be controversial given that his traffic incident and suspension. Like, I don't know, I should go through that now or later, but
You can go through it now if you want. It's
okay.
up to you.
Yeah. It's gonna take a while. I might talk about it later when we're talking about, yeah. Because I think he's had a hand in winning or defending many of the major belts this year, like the heavyweight tag, the Gara Six Man, Asia tag. He's been a triple crown challenger. He had the first match held by All Japan after the 10 bell count for Taishin. That's a really hard ask to do. So they just went straight, for it. And I know that, people are divided in their opinion of him because they think of him as a comedy wrestler, but I don't know why they think that, but he really does set the tone for the shows. Like, people think he's coasting, but I really think he's actually giving his all. Because the difference is that he's like taking, like, on losses. Like, what kind of person books themselves to lose the Triple Crown match in their hometown? Like, at the biggest venue the brothers have ever, like, held the show at. Like, even Jun warned him in Osaka that is it okay to lose in your hometown in front of your friends and family? I was like, I should have taken that as a warning because I went to Matsumoto. That was very interesting. Yeah, who wants to be pinned by who wants to be pinned by a junior, and cop like an elbow to the chest as well? Because I think his presence moves the story along in All Japan. And then also for me, that related to Jun's kind of speech, like when he did this whole like we call it dogeza, like the bowing down kind of thing. He was like appealing to Kikuta to come and fight him in All Japan. But to me on the outside, it seems like something stupid and silly that he kept doing. But it was like the day after, again, the day after Taishin's accident. So I could see like you just do something like that just to lighten the mood because it must have been like so difficult. So I think this is someone that's, looking after the state of All Japan. And then he also had like a guest appearance acting as himself on a drama. It was like a drama about guys who do ballet. It was really, really weird and surreal, but that was very cool. So those are basically my two picks. I mean, Kento's very close. I think it's very important for him to reclaim the belt this year, and especially as Taishin Senpai. I think that was the message in Tachikawa. Everyone really wanted him to win. And I think that's his message was like he had to fight to make a new future for All Japan. So yeah, he's definitely done that this year as well.
Yeah, I totally agree. So we do have to talk about the juniors, and I just want to talk about like Taishin for a second. Like he was part of the juniors. He was such a big part and just for so young, you know. I think he just gets an honorable mention for like just junior of the year. He was improving so much. He was just so good. And I know that one of our awards is shocking moment, and people might think he should belong in there, but I don't think so. This wasn't, it
It's
was
not
shocking,
just a
but it's
shocking
so,
moment. It's more than that.
yeah, it's so much bigger than just like this shocking moment of the year. Like when we have, maybe just silly stuff or someone returns. This is like someone's life that unfortunately was lost. It doesn't belong in like just a silly little award on a podcast. So, moving on from that, for junior heavyweight wrestler of the year, I have Musashi. He elevated the division so much. As a relative newcomer, he's already got a big position backstage as like the vice president for player relations. So it means he's very well liked. Kento's the president. I just think he just came into All Japan. He's like, I don't want to win the belt. I'm not going for that straight away. I want to help raise the division. And he did. He ended up winning belts. But it wasn't like, okay, this newcomer, he wins belt just because he's new. It's like he wins belts because he deserves it. And he elevates the belt so much. Like, just look at what happened with the All Asia titles when he and Yoshioka are champions. It's just must watch wrestling. And for runner up, I just had to mention Hayato. He had a fantastic year as well, especially with his run as tag team partner to Manzai. So Dr. Jonathan picked Asuka Yagi. Dylan picked Rising Hayato. Christy said she had a tie between Seki Yoshioka and Rising Hayato. Luna said Rising Hayato. Ruth said Seki for elevating the division and Hayato because he had an outstanding year.
So my pick would be Atsuki Ayagi, because basically he's returned as the junior ace, his position as the junior ace, because he was off for like 10 months with quite a serious injury. It was like ACL plus another kind of a couple of tears in his knee, I think, because I think it's from doing a quebrada from the corner. So every time I see that, I'm like, oh my God. I mean, it's fine now, but it's just scary seeing it sometimes. So I think he came back last New Year's Eve. Like since then, I mean, apart from winning the junior title from Yoshioka and Matsumoto, and he's had like three defenses so far versus Musashi, Inoue, and Hikaru Sato. And he's also reformed his tag team, of course, with Rising Hayato to challenge for the Asia tag in October, and then also taking part in the Real World Tag League. Yeah, he had some like great matches, like Dangerous Gate in Dragon Gate with Inoue and Yuma versus Paradox. Yeah, there's like a surprise win over Rei and Hachidoji in February. And then of course like New Age Chronicles, like the most fun. Where it's more like him and Aniki started imitating Jenna and Rei, and basically they got crushed as
Oh, that was
punishment.
great when they tried to do the dance.
Yeah, the worst dance ever. And then of course he won Asia Tag with his brother Yuma at Kyoto KBS Hall over Anzai and Hayato, who were still Elpida before losing the title in September to Musashi. So he's done a lot since he's come back in just like 1 year, and yeah, it's Atsuhaya. They're just like really a really, really great tag team. Of course, I forgot the Junior Fest final. That was the best match. I think the pairing of them is just like it can't be like topped. They're just so good together. I mean, as friends and as rivals, I don't think anyone comes close in All Japan.
I have a different thought. I think there's two
Yeah.
wrestlers that come close, and I'll get to it. I'm
Okay.
not going to
That's
reveal it right
cool.
now.
That's all right.
I'm going to make you wait.
All right.
Because we have to talk about tag team of the year. So I'm very split on two. It's Yuma Anzai and Rising Hayato and Musashi and Seki. Like, I just thought these teams were both great. With the Yuma Anzai and Hayato team, I love seeing a heavyweight and a junior weight tag together. Like you said with the Aoyagi brothers and stuff, I think it's just so much fun. And what I love is they gave Hayato the ending stretch for a lot of matches. They could have easily have like Anzai come in and do his heavyweight stuff and hit a jumpy knee and a gimlet or whatever, but like they had Hayato do all like the end of match stuff and get the wins. I thought that was great. Like, he got beat up a lot. Like, he really got beat up a lot. For Seki and Musashi, they're just like two veterans who know what they're doing. Like, wrestling to them is just the easiest thing in the world. They just look effortless. They are just so much fun to watch. And just a quick shout out to the newest tag league winners, Talos and Ayabe. I just think they're a great team together. Jonathan said Muchanization. Dylan said Yuanzhai Rising Hayato. Christy said Musashi and Seki Yoshioka. Luna said Yuanzhai Rising Hayato. Ruth said Musashi and Seki, but Asuka and Hayato were exceptionally strong in the second half of the year. And Simone said Titans of Calamity, Rani Yabe and Talos. Who's your pick?
I would just probably pick Atsuhaya because I feel like they're always meant to be a tag team, and then because he was off injured for so long, they couldn't do anything. And I think that's actually what caused Elpida to form. And that's why they also broke up, in a sense. So when they like shook hands at like Tachikawa to like reform their tag team, I was like so excited. But otherwise, yeah, I also would say Titans of Calamity. I think we've only begun to see the beginning of their partnership together. They are just so good together. Like, Talos is so fast. I actually wrote a whole tweet, and then I think Talos retweeted it because I said, like, because he used to play basketball, right? Because he played college basketball, and then he also played for the Harlem Globetrotters at one point. But then obviously he switched to wrestling because. Like 7 footers, you expect them to be slow, right? Big guys in wrestling. But because he has basketball experience, he's like super fast on his feet and really quick. So, yeah, the forming that tag team with Ayabe, I think it just made them like really hard to beat. And I think it's brought out a lot of the qualities in Ayabe that have just always been hidden as well, personality wise. Because you can see it in the final, like him sticking out his tongue and like making all sorts of expressions and just like, high-fiving Talos really hard. So I think there'll be lots of good things to see from them in the coming year.
I love when Asuki went to challenge for the All Asia tags, and this isn't like proper translation, but he's just like, who will I pick my tag team partner? And the camera goes to Hayato and he has his face down. He's trying to hide a smile
I
because
know.
he's too cool to smile on camera. And the whole crowd's like, Hayato,
Yes,
Hayato.
that's car. Yes,
It's like they
that's
know.
exactly.
Asuki
That's pretty
doesn't
much
have
what
to
happened.
say whose name it is. They know he's picking Hayato.
Everyone knows what good pals they are.
Yeah.
They just know, and there's no question who else it could be.
It's just like Kento and Yuma. They always break up, but they always get back together.
Yeah.
So for match of the year now, heavyweights, I struggled with this for a while. I actually just like put my pick down today because I thought I'll sleep on it. When I wake up, there'll be one match in my mind. There wasn't. So I had to go through all my notes and like literally on my whiteboard, like in front of me, I have like a bunch of matches. I'm just like, which one do I pick? Which one do I pick?
You
And
can
like
pick more than one.
I came across
You
one.
can't.
I'll tell you now.
Okay.
And
All
I'm just
right.
like, it made me smile so much. And like, yeah, this is it. This pairing I love. Before I get to that, I'll say Honda and Kento, Yuma versus Nomura, Anzai versus Ishino and Kikuta, because I really like that match. But the match I picked is Anzai versus Honda from Champion Carnival. I think these two are generational rivals that can rival Asuki versus Hayato. I just love their matches so much. I just think they're just such a good pairing, tag team, or fighting against in a singles match. I did pick them last year, so it is 2 years running for Anzai and Honda to be my match of the year. But I just can't top them. I just love them so much. Jonathan picked Kento versus Go, with the honorable mention being Anzai versus Ishino. Dylan said Ishino versus Yuma Anzai. Christy had a couple matches to highlight: Nomura versus Yuma, Honda versus Kento, or Kento versus Kengo from Champion Carnival. Luna said Nari Nomura versus Yuma Anzai. Ruth said Kento versus Honda, but a close second was Yuma versus Yuma. And Simone said Rei versus Kikuta.
Well, you might guess what I might say, because I think my top pick would have to be Nomoyaki. So Champions Carnival first round in August 24. Because I think I actually messaged you and you were like sick at the time. I was like,
I'm so sick.
why is Jessica not like, this is like the dream match. Why is Jessica not online? So
I
she
was
went,
so sick.
oh, this sucks. Yeah, I was like, I don't know if you're around, but Nomiyagi is happening right now. Yeah, because I was so excited when Nomura came back. Like, this is such like a match I've been waiting for like years to happen, basically. He's because Nomura's had long absences from All Japan because of injury, and this was only like his second match back in All Japan, and like his fifth since his return to wrestling since like 2023. So it's like watching the Nomura of old, like hitting hard elbows on Yuma. Well, in the meantime, Yuma's gained like another 2 years of experience, including like two runs with the Triple Crown. And I think like only people who've trained for this long, like together with this amount of talent, they can really fight like this because they're going so hard at it. I was like, I can't believe how hard these guys are hitting each other. And then I was also thinking to myself, like, Nomura can still fight like this, like with barely any in-ring practice. It's like crazy. And then at the end, like Nomura hits like maximum on Yuma and then pins him. And I thought, this is absolutely crazy. Like, I couldn't even hear the commentary while I was watching this match because I was so absorbed in it. It was like, yeah, I can't forget that match at all. Like, I'm disappointed they're not having the second match this year. They were going to have like a real blood produce show. That was only going to be one match between Nomura and Yuma because essentially, in a tweet, Nomura, inverted commas, I'm not sure, said that he'd been told that All Japan didn't need him after this date in the end of like, December. So basically let out that they were supposed to have a match together, but now because Yuma was suspended, it wasn't happening. So I don't know if you know about that kind of thing.
Yeah, I heard
Yeah.
that, yeah.
Because, I mean, to be honest, I think Real Blood is run by Kitahara. Yeah, definitely. So I was just like, why are you tweeting that? But anyway, so I'm disappointed kind of a second match this year, but that one and only match was so good that yeah. Others, my close second is like Honda versus Kento in the Oto tournament final, because Honda was just really strong in this, like compared to like his Triple Crown match with Jun. And then you can see his power and his heart is just coming out in these matches, I think, more and more. So that was my close second, I think.
Yeah, that was a really good match as well. And your pick. I love that match. I remember you messaging me. I was like, oh, All Japan's on? Okay, I'll watch this match. Like, I was out of it. Seriously.
That's been the only reason why you were not paying attention. I was just like, this is a generational match. Where is Jessica?
Like, rivals or partners, Nomiyagi are just, yeah, just fantastic together. I do love the fact that Nomura will like go in the ring and just destroy someone with elbows, and then like the next day he'll be at a farm like picking turnips and stuff.
I think it's like in the ring, it's wrestling. Outside the ring, it's just, I'm just Nomura. This is like, no, this is like the wrestling brain or just, yeah.
Yeah. So for a junior heavyweight match of the year, this was so easy for me. Every other pick was just so hard, but this I knew from the start. It's Musashi versus Seki Yoshoka from the 18th of May. We have spoken so much about this on the podcast. So if you want to listen, go back to our May episode or the junior tournament preview where Ruth talks about it. It was fantastic. Just going for counter, and then the zoom in when they're still like linking hands after the counter spot just like lives in my mind forever. It's just such a beautiful spot, such a beautiful match. Honestly, for me, it's the best match of the year for All Japan. I loved it so much.
Cool.
Jonathan picked Asuki versus Saito in the junior tournament finals, which is a great shout out. This was number two for junior matches. Dylan also picked Asuki Aoyagi in Rising Hayato. Christy picked Musashi and Seki Yoshioka, and Honorable mentioned Hayato versus Asuki. Luna picked Musashi versus Sega Tachibana, and Ruth picked Musashi versus Seki, and it's not even close for her either. Who'd you pick?
I actually picked Atsuki versus Hayato at the Junior Fest final, which is probably what everyone else is referring to on July 3. I think there was so much building up to that final and just boosting the junior kind of side of things that I felt like it was very important for that final to be a good one. So picking those two to be in the final is the right decision, I think, because it's a kind of match that only like two close, like again, two close people can have, two close rivals. There was like a crazy, like they went Ota Ward, right? So there's a crazy like balcony drop that he did from like the stands. Hayato jumped from the stands. And then at some point, I think Hayato accidentally cut himself over his eye. So it's probably only a small cut, but it looked really bad because of blonde hair and everything. But there was like blood dripping. And then I was actually sitting like in the front row in the far corner. So like I was sitting next to a Hayato fan and I was cheering for Atsuki. So like between the two of us, it was like we were like, so excited and we're just like saying all these little things to each other in like Japanese. It was just like really, really cool to see. I really, really loved that match.
No, it really deserves to be up there. Like, it was a close second. When they had the blocks for the junior tournament and they had Asuki on one side and Hayato on the other side, it was like this tournament can
That has to
only
happen.
end one way. And okay, yes, it was a bit predictable, but it was the right decision. And like, they got the main event and they tore the house down. And like you said, like Hayato's balcony spot, we don't see that in All Japan ever. So, this was really special to see. The blood adds to the match, I think. A little bit of blood can help the match. But yeah, no, it was a fantastic finals. And I watched, do you remember, like, during the pandemic era with Asuki versus Hayato in the main event at Korakuen, when Asuki just won the belt for the first time and Kento's on commentary going like nuts? I watched that.
Screaming.
I watched that and then I watched this match, and it's just like seeing how much they grow and just like how much more comfortable they are in the ring. It's just like such, like, so beautiful to see. Moving on to tag team match. So I can probably put down an honorable mention of like every Musashi and Seki All Asia tag match, and also with Alpida, but especially against Astronaut. So Alpida, I'm talking about like Anzai and Hayato. Saito Brothers versus Hideki and Sakamoto from the start of the year also deserves a shout out, but I gotta go with my bias. It's Nomoyagi versus New Period. That match made me smile from ear to ear. I just love these four guys. They are it for me, and I just loved it. I thought it was so much fun. And then the ending was just so unexpected, where they're like, yeah, we're switching tag partners. Jonathan picked Alpida versus Musashi and Seki. Dylan said Hideki and Kengo Mashimo versus Business Tag. Christy said Yuma Anzai and Rising Hayato versus Fuminori Abe and Takumi Nomura. Honorable mentions include Anzai and Hayato versus the Aoyagi brothers, Anzai and Honda versus Yuma and Nomura, and also the MAID main event tag match. Luna said Nao Nomura and Yuma Aoyagi versus Ruki Honda and Yuma Anzai. And Ruth said Asuka Aoyagi and Rising Hayato versus Musashi and Seki Yoshioka. What is your tag match of the year?
I probably still got to go back to Business Tag versus Saito Brothers in March. Just them winning the tag belts again, I guess. Reforming to win the tag belts. This is a business relationship, right? That's why they get their name. I think that was just the number of crazy false finishes and everyone just screaming at Crokin Hall. It was just really, really good. And then even the recent, like, IRB Talos versus Havoc final, I think was pretty good as well. Because basically people want to see really big people just smash each other. So, and I really love just seeing IRB just win things. I don't know how else to put it. Like it just improve and win things and grow. I really like that about about that match in particular. It's just a really good tag team. Yeah, but definitely my number one is still Business Tag earlier this year.
Yeah, that's a great shout out. And that was like, what, they were the 100th tag champions then?
Yeah, that was the whole, sorry, I forgot about that, isn't it? That was the big number. It's like, who was going to be the 100th one? Yeah, so I think it was great that they ended up winning it, because they're leading all Japan after all.
We're going to talk about Outsider of the Year now. I have a special shout out to Kakuta from Dragon Gate. He was such a surprise for the Champion Carnival and worked so well with All Japan wrestlers and the roster. Just like his finisher was like a lariat. I'm just like, this man's was made for All Japan. Like his finisher is a bloody lariat.
We're in
Come
love
on.
lariats. I don't know if you noticed.
So hopefully we get more of him soon, but my pick is Seki Yoshioka. He's just too good. He works so well with the juniors. He has a surprisingly amazing match with Ricky Honda early in the year that just like blew me away. I'm like, holy hell, like this guy can go. Dr. Jonathan said Go Shiozaki. Dylan said Kengo Mashimo, as did Christy. Luna said Mike DiVecchio. Ruth said Seki with a huge nod to Shota Kafuji, who stood out. So, who'd you pick?
I'm gonna go completely left field and say Takahashi.
No.
Because everyone just really loves him. He's taken over like the stereo of all Japan. So like basically all his themes are like playing all the time, like his own theme, every single like Hokuto-gun theme, the individual ones for each one. He made his own Champion Carnival theme. He has a move called Champion Carnival, which he still uses. I was just like, okay. I mean, like he gets like really big calls from like the All Japan audience. So like he's not like doing anything special or thing or anything like that, but he's very funny. Sometimes you need some laughter in this kind of year that All Japan has had, you know. So I think he lightens the mood, and then you know you're gonna just have one fun match, you know, in the show, and they'll have Takashi in it, so.
Yeah. So now, shocking moment. I didn't write this down, but it just reminded me. So one of the shocking moments was Nomura being announced for Champion Carnival. Like I didn't expect it. I'll admit it, I cried when he came
I
up on
screamed at
screen.
home. I screamed at
I
home.
yelled out.
Yeah.
So yeah, just seeing him back and then them announcing like a minute later, his first match will be against Yuma. Like there was just
What
more
are they
tears.
doing? What are they doing to
Apart from that, I just said like hello go, like welcome back to All Japan. It's been a while. The partner swap between Anzai and Honda and Nomuyagi, where the two Yumas were tagging in Honda and Nomura. Alpida breaking up, and that like really came out of nowhere. And Anzai was like, yeah, I'm going for a while, like I'll be back soon. And special mention to Anzai getting busted open all the way back in January. So
Yeah, I know.
I know this isn't one shocking moment, but like it's a whole lot, but you know, they're all shocking.
That when he's busted open, that was looks really dramatic when he came back with a huge bandage over his face. I really felt like he was gonna be out, but yeah,
Let me
thanks.
tell you, he looked out of it. Like I was there.
He was definitely out of it. I was like,
And
holy shit, what did Ashino do?
yeah, I could see like where I was sitting, I could hear Wada say, okay, like I'm guessing it's you. And Anzai was like, you know, shaking his head, like, no. Yeah, that was really freaky.
Yeah, I was just like, oh my God, he looks limp. That's like, this is not normal. They don't normally react like this.
So, yeah, definitely that. Jonathan said, go returning to All Japan, good. And Yano getting booked for December slash January, bad. Dylan said, go coming out and debuting as part of Havoc. Christy said, Alpida breaking up. Luna also picked Go Shiozaki. Ruth said Alpida breaking up and Shiozaki's arrival. So it's a very Shiozaki heavy, shocking year. But who'd you pick?
I can say like briefly, yes. I kind of half guessed that maybe the person coming to All Japan, the secret Havoc person, was Go, because after a while I was just like, well, who else is there? And then if they speak, because in the teaser, Zion spoke Japanese. Oh, did he speak Japanese to him? to the person, and I thought the only free person at the moment is Go. And it's the same with Sekimoto, if you remember. There was like, who's coming? And then it was like, well, the only free person is Sekimoto, and it turned to be Sekimoto anyway. So, and then Kento starting this whole like rant against Go to, I think in the end it made people accept him more, because the whole thing that Kento was saying is, you're like coming and going, because it's been like, he was Noah born, then he went to All Japan, then he left, and then back to Noah, and now he's back. So I think the phrase that Kento says is "Detari Haitari," so he kept saying it over and over and over again. So it's very funny. Otherwise, it's like shocking. I don't know. I have to say my number one shocking is Ayagi getting busted for not driving without a license. It's really shocking. I'm sorry. I remember when I saw the notice on the website, I was just like, and I clicked on the link and I opened it. I was like, holy shit. What is happening? I could not believe it. So yeah, essentially he's out till like at least February 28th. I don't know if he'll return straight away in March. Maybe he will, or I don't know. Because basically, if I want to go through it all, it was after the Numazu show. So he normally, sometimes he drives his own car to and from these shows. Because I think Numazu is like about 2 hours, 2 and a bit hours away from Tokyo. So I think he drove his car and then he's driving back. And then at some point he ran a red light and then hit another car. And then in the process of when he contacted the police, they realized that he had an expired license, which hadn't been renewed for a year. So all those things are like, what do you call them? You get like demerit points. They're all offenses, right? So I think with this, like between the traffic, running the red light traffic accident and having a not having a license, which is the worst of the three, I think it means that he can't drive for like 2 years or something like that. I'd have to double check that though, but I mean, driving without a license is seen as a very serious offense in Japan, so a lot of people not very happy at all. So the company put him on like 3 months suspension with 50% pay, and then like obviously no company transport or anything, kind of tenchos until after the 28th. So which leaves us where we are in the situation where you don't have any Aoyagi in any matches and you have Anzai going for Triple Crown. But yeah, it was pretty shocking to me, and it took me a while to process. You know what I mean?
No, you don't really expect, logging in for the day, and the first thing you do is seeing all these articles about Yuma.
It took me a while to even I watched the press conference, because I couldn't watch it, because it's just so sad. I could see how upset he was, because yeah, but he's also very important to All Japan. He's their head dojo trainer, more than that, he's like a leader amongst them. And yeah, I
You better
really
learn
wonder
from
what's gonna
this.
yeah exactly. You need to be more careful in your daily affairs. So I don't know what's going to happen next year. I'm hoping it comes back in March. I don't know. General public views it quite harshly. So yeah, I mean, fans, I think, are like, we're just waiting for you to come back now. But yeah.
I just want to mention the Go thing. So, when they were saying, we're going to have a new member of Havoc. And they're like, it's someone Hideki knows, but Kendo doesn't know. And then they went back on that because
I
I
think that
think,
was a mistake. I think they just didn't know that.
a lot of people were saying, oh no, it's some new guy from NXT, like an
Thought
NXT
it'd be
reject.
a foreigner or something.
Yeah. And then they, yeah. So they went back on that. And then they're like, it's someone Hideki and Kento know. So I think a lot of people, including myself, were thinking Go. But I think just seeing him show up again in All Japan. After him in Noah, and he's saying I am Noah, and you think if anyone from Noah stays full time like to the end of their career, it's go. To just to see him back in All Japan, I think it's just that was a shocking bit. Holy crap, he's actually back. Okay, we knew he could come back, but he's here. He's in the
He's
ring.
actually
Like,
here.
yeah.
It's different thinking about it because oh, his contract ended before he showed up, and then they did actually show up.
Yeah.
It just means that the door is never really closed, if you know what I mean. Like Jake, you can still come back if you want, if people want you back. I don't
Yeah.
know if they do, but.
So for one of the most important awards, it's the Fashion Award. I have a special shout out to Naruki Doi dressed up as a Saito with the long pants and boots. I loved it so much. Also, Hayato in his schoolgirl look. Like, someone on Twitter posted that photo just last night, and just like it reminded me just how amazing he looked, and just like it just worked so well on him. I do have to give it to Kuma and Omori and their white outfits, especially Kuma's white outfit. I think, you know, you see someone in black so long and then they just come out in white. And especially now with his hair, Kuma, he looks so much younger. I think it looks so much better. And I just love a white outfit. Jonathan picked the tracksuits Arrested got at the start of the year. And he also mentioned that they should sell it. Dylan said Hayato's fit at the press conference leading to the All Asia Tag match with Muchain and Seichan. Christy said it's Asuka Yagi in his purple suit. She sent me a picture so I know which one, and I have to admit he really looks good in that suit.
I think he'll be at the press conference wearing that or the signing. So that's what he
Probably.
said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ruth said it has to be the maid match, but shout out to Kuma's polar bear look and Dan's robe. And Milo said Hayato in his schoolgirl outfit. What was your fashion moment of the year?
So I'm probably going to say the runner up is Hokuto's, he calls it Shirai Koibito because it's after like, these biscuits from Hokkaido. It's like a home prefecture. It means like white lover or something. Because I think his promo was like that they showed before his title match versus Kento in Hokkaido. He was kind of like, it's not fun anymore. And because Kento's the champ and stuff like that. And he's saying like very, like almost heelish kind of mean things. It's like, I need to be champ now to make it fun again. But you can see like a smile on his face when he says it. So you don't feel like it's really malicious or anything. And then, so I feel like, oh my goodness, I really kind of like Hokuto listening to his like a promo, and then he steps out in this all white costume like version of his like I don't know what you call it, the army general,
Yeah, it's like a general
army
costume, I
general
think. Yeah.
costume. Yeah, when he came in the all white costume, I was like, oh my God, I really love this. I love Hokuto at that point. You know what I mean? I thought it was really really good, and it's just like fitting for him for his hometown. Otherwise, that whole cross-dressing match of all the juniors and was really good. Like all these guys that had to was what was it the time when they had to vote on the fans had to
Yeah.
vote on the main event, and it ended up being the cross-dressing match because of Hokuto's politicking basically online because he's very good at replying everyone. So he had the whole one side with like in maid costumes, and the other side was like, Hayato's schoolgirl costume, Taishin's like Little Red Riding Hood.
Yeah.
Who else is there? Oh, like, oh my goodness, sexy nurse, like with like his chest popping out of this shirt. Holy shit, I can't remember. And then Ray pretending to be like very reluctantly
He got his hair and
joining
ponytail,
in.
like,
Yeah, they forced him to be
yeah.
wear ponytails. That was really cute. That was really, really great. I don't think I'll ever forget that. You know what I mean? But
Yeah.
not just because Taishin is in it, but yeah. Oh. Yeah, that was great, I think. And I was really worried about it. I thought like, this is shit. This is like a stupid match to have as a main event in Korakuen in 2025 in All Japan. But in the end, I really came to like it.
Fans wanted it, they voted for it.
Well, that's true.
Yeah. So that was the awards, but we're going to just talk about our predictions. It can be big, it can be small. So my prediction of Rhea Inoue winning a belt didn't come true this year. So I'm going to have it my prediction for next year. And also, I just want this to come true so much that Honda finally wins a tournament. He is not runner up anymore, he wins a tournament. Jonathan said, Triple Crown go. Luna said, Hideki Suzuki leaves and his crap talent go with him. and the good foreign talent don't leave for WWE, in brackets, pipe dream. Ruth said a permanent spot for Kafuji and Triple Crown Honda. What is your prediction?
I am predicting that Anzai will return to the Triple Crown at some point. I don't know if it's going to be New Year's Eve, to be honest, because it feels like maybe Kendo hasn't defended long enough, but I also really want him to win at New Year's Eve. But I think at some point, if not New Year's Eve, then he will actually win the Triple Crown again. This is not so much a prediction. I think this probably will happen. Like, IRB has hinted that he will go overseas with Talos. So I think that's probably going to be NWA power, because I think that's what Talos has been on. And then possibly after that, you could say that's a form of excursion, that he'll return stronger and challenge for Triple Crown again. And my other thing was, like, the Junior Revolution will continue. I really think that whole match of Atsuhaya versus Double Yuma, and then Atsuhaya taking the win, was like a really, really big thing with that Sid and Nancy move. I think that's like a crazy move. Like the two of them just doing like this really fast, like Spanish fire. And I think like Yuma like copped like a elbow to like the chest, because he looks like he was in so much pain afterwards. I think they came and checked on him. Yeah, so I think you will see more upsets like that. I really want Kofuji to get signed, like everyone else. I'm not sure it's going to happen. I'm not, because I can still see he's got bookings in January. So I'm really worrying, wondering. But yeah, I think juniors will continue to surprise in like unimagined ways.
It's like Haizo has that dual contract between All Japan and EPW, but they rarely run shows, you know, just like once in a blue moon. While the promotion Kafuji is signed to, they like regularly run shows. So I don't know if he can do like a double contract, but he is basically on every show. You know,
And he says he wants to boost the junior, the junior profile in All Japan. So he's specifically saying he wants to be a part of it. Maybe he can still do it as not a signee, though, because like Hikaru Sato never signed, for example. And he's definitely like, he's always there.
He's basically All Japan to me. Yeah.
I think it's hard for Kafuji, because it's almost like, not like ace, but he's like almost the face of OSW at the moment. So it's very difficult. Like if you sort of poach him, not poach him, but sort of borrow him. He is so good and he fits in so well, obviously. Because of the training of Inoue Masao. So, like, yeah, the style really suits.
A prediction I've had for years now, like literally like 4 or 5 years probably, is that Ishino gets different colored gear besides from black and red, and it never comes true. And now he's in like his Havoc era and their colors are black and red. I'm like, come on, Ishino.
Yeah, red trunks.
Yeah, but like black or red. Like, okay, yeah, that's fine. Get different. Like, get like green or blue or pink or something.
Unless Havoc changes their colors, I don't think they're gonna. I think that's deliberate picking to pick red and black, I think.
I think this is like the 5th year. It's not going to happen. My prediction about Ishino, different color trunks, is not going to come true.
I think he's not adventurous with color.
No.
I like some of the other guys.
Now, I remember once he was on commentary. I think it was maybe during like the pandemic era, and he was wearing this pink t-shirt. I'm like, yeah, he looks good in pink. You should get pink trunks, but no, I don't think it's ever going to happen.
Like, maybe yellow.
Yeah.
It's like anything related to Metallica or his favorite soccer team, maybe. Maybe along those lines.
Ishino, come on.
He likes to be like the tough guy, right?
Yeah.
I think it's not so much now, but I think, yeah, he's having a good time. Did you see like the last match? He was like slapping the All Japan logo in the middle and pointing at the Garra belt. It's like, this is what I got. This is what I'm doing. He's really having a lot of fun right now. I'm so glad.
I do like the photos where Havoc go out. And they just like, you know, just there was one where they're getting like ice cream. I think Talos was there as well. And they're just always together. And it does look really fun. And yeah, we want that for Ishino.
I think was it Go said he was having like a lot of fun. And then just the photo of them all getting like Big Macs together. I was just like, that's so funny. I feel like Go is is being free to have more fun instead of trying to be the serious, like, I am not a guy.
Mm.
He's always been like a funny guy, I think. Because you see him and Nakajima last time, the way they act together sometimes.
Oh, yeah. It's like they gave Go some face paint. It's like, here, face paint. Just hang out with these guys. Go out and get ice cream after the match. Just have fun. So that was the awards and our predictions. I hope you enjoyed them. Like, I think every match we mentioned is one to just go back and have a look at. So it's the end of year. We have one show left. But how do you think the year went? Like, for me, I think the bright spot was the juniors, like 100%. Of course, like Musashi versus Seki was my match of the year, but like I had so many runner up for junior matches. I would say like last year, if I was getting people into All Japan, I would say like Anzai matches 100% go and watch Anzai matches. But this year, I'm like, no, go watch junior matches, go watch the junior league. It was fantastic. Like of course, like the heavyweights had their good moments, of course. But I think the juniors just stole the year for the company.
I think, again, if you want to see juniors doing it really well, then watch that Atsuhaya versus Double Yuma, because it's so, I could not have predicted that finish. I had no idea. I was like, oh my God, what just happened? That is like, there was a huge lariat that Atsuki let off on Yuma, on Aoyagi. I was like, wow, like it's like going back to like the power days of like juniors of old, I guess, in All Japan. I feel. Otherwise, I think. Did you have, anything else to say about the bright spots or whatever, or before I start taking over?
You can take over. It's okay.
Okay, because it's not so much about the matches. I think All Japan has had a really difficult year. There's so much going on. You could not have predicted the kind of year that they've had. But I think the big takeaway in all of this is that everyone has, like, behind the scenes, I think, supported each other a lot. This might be controversial, but I think Anzai's absence is not related to an outside. He's saying fighting in outside rings, but I don't think it's actually related to an entertainment or other purpose. I think he may have taken the time off because he actually needed it. Because I think when they were promoting like tag league, Aoyagi and Anzai were in like Samurai TV on their like a like weekly recap show, and then I think they did ask him about his absence, and he said it'll be a little while before I can tell you about it. Just kind of wait. But I think, yeah, you might never know what the actual reason was, and I think it may be personal reasons. So. But otherwise, yeah, everyone has just really come together to support each other. You can see that in little ways, like what they say on Twitter or what they say in backstage. And I think that's been really important, like to the organization as a whole. And I actually think Hideki is very supportive behind the scenes. I know he's not popular and people don't like him for his supposed booking reasons. Like, what if, like, controversial again. What if it wasn't him, it was a booker, it was like Musashi, because he doesn't seem like he has a lot on his plate, but it doesn't really matter who the booker is. I know he gets a lot of, like, from Western fans, he gets a lot of vitriol directed at him, but I think when Yuma was suspended, he put out a series of tweets saying, reflect on it and take responsibility, basically. So I think he's also been a good leader, and he's also very supportive behind the scenes. So I think, yeah, I'm hoping that 2025, 2026, sorry, for All Japan will be like a much better year for them, like personally.
Yeah, no, I agree with everything that you said. I do think that the wrestlers are very close and very supportive. Like all of them, like it's a small company, you know. They seem to support one another. Like I remember when Ray was trying to come up with a name for his finisher, Yuma was in like his comments like suggesting stuff. So I do think, you know, they're very supportive of one another. I know people online have said, what happened to All Japan? What happened to the company I love? Blah, 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 like all this other bullshit. It's just like, have you tried watching it? Or
You
have you
can't go.
just, or are
Yeah.
you just reading results online?
I don't feel like they're really watching, or they watch one or two matches and go, I don't like that person, I'm switching off now. You can't go back to the Suwama days and Ishikawa days. These guys are like 50 practically. They're
Yeah.
falling apart. Suwama is only interested in Evo. They were just trying to break it to us like kindly by putting saying he was going to do two matches a month, which it quickly just went to one straight the next month and then none. And then, one appearance or something. I don't necessarily think Ishikawa's booking was any better than what it is now. I actually think it's better now, but that's my personal opinion. Yeah, you can't just harp on the past that can't come back. No one's getting younger, people leave for whatever reasons. It's just how it is.
Yeah, definitely. I think the thing is, like, a lot of people saw Champion Carnival, and like, that's All Japan's biggest thing that gets people in. And people are like, oh, this was just shit, Champion Carnival. It's just like, no, it wasn't. You just watched the finals and you didn't like the winner, but Ray had to win. Nobody else could win. It was, it made sense in the booking and the story the Saitos have. And it's just like, I heard nothing about the Junior Tournament, and the Junior Tournament was the
It was
best thing All
great.
Japan put on this year, and nobody was talking about it.
If you
The
want something that doesn't get gets promoted like to the sky, that doesn't get promoted in other promotions, that's the juniors here.
And then like the Royal Road Tournament, hardly anybody's talking about that, and they had a fantastic final. Tag League, I'll be honest, I kind of zoned out with Tag League. I needed that time off. But I thought the finals were great. They elevated Ayabe and Talos 100%. It's just, I think the hate All Japan gets unfair, and I think some people find it easy to hate on All Japan.
Yeah, I think it's a lot of cherry picking, like certain things. They don't pay attention to when there's a really great match, and then they just go like, I don't like the comedy, but there's comedy like elements in some matches, but it's just like immediately it's just billed as it's all comedy, which I don't think. Or Yuma Aoyagi is all comedy, but he's a humorous guy. I think All Japan just lets people be as they are and doesn't try and suppress like aspects of their personality or whatever. They just act as whatever they want to do, I think.
Yeah, I just think there's so many like little bright spots or like hidden gem matches that people are missing this year. Like I said,
Yeah.
Hanzai and Honda for my match of the year. How many other people who talk about All Japan have watched that? Probably very, very few. It's only the really diehard fans who watch that match.
I
Just.
think ultimately they can't get past headlines, and then they won't watch the matches, and that's really sad because you're missing out on like these really, really good wrestlers.
Yeah. I would say, like, was this year better than last year? In some ways, no. But for the juniors, like, yes, this year was better than last year for the juniors. Like, I don't know, it can just get better. Like, it's a very young roster. They're still learning, they're still exploring, they're still just getting better and better and better. The juniors are kind of, they're very young as well. I just think we're going to see good things in the future. And like starting, like ending the, sorry, with Kento versus Anzai, the right thing to do.
I just think that the roster has changed a lot. So therefore the matches that you're used to seeing are going to be different because the people that are in it are different. So you can't be expecting like I don't know. I'm sorry, who wants to see Omori Taka in matches now? I'm sorry, he's pretty old, and I'd rather see a young person get a chance. And that's what like Inoue or Dan, I really love Dan. They're getting more chances to wrestle. They're only were doing about four matches a month. I think the early schedule looks like there's five. I wouldn't hold them to it, but so far it looks like there's five each in January and February. So hopefully maybe there's one more extra date a month at least, because I know they don't have a lot of money, and yeah, it costs money to run shows ultimately and pay wrestlers. Like the only true rant, the only true line back to old Japan ultimately is Yuma Aoyagi as the trainer, because he was trained by Aoki and Akiyama. So I think you should keep that in mind. He's not just a comedy guy in the matches. He's like the trainer. He's the reason why these guys are as good as they are, and the reason why some of these guys have really improved over the year. Like Zion, for example, has improved a lot. Yeah. That's how I see it. So like you can't have both. You've got to have good with bad or whatever you think it is. But this is like the current state of all Japan as it is.
Look, I think they're setting up for a big 2026. They have a triple crown match that nobody really knows who's going to win, who's going to lead the future. We are working with Dragon Gate guys, which is always good. The thing is, this roster is small, yes, but we have a bunch of freelancers who are always there, like Hikaru Saito, like we said, Tachibana. I know people don't like him, but Kurusho Tokyo Japan, Takashi, Cyrus, Talos, the Havoc guys, they're always there, so they kind of feel like All Japan, like Hikaru Saito, especially for me. He feels just like a member of All Japan.
He is basically, yeah.
Yeah, I just think just watch some matches, just not for the headlines, Next year when Anzai and Honda have a match, watch that if it's in the Champion Carnival. You can see them grow. See Asuki and Hayato, because they're just growing just alongside Anzai and Honda. They're generational rivals for the juniors and heavyweights. Just don't miss out on the younger guys and just see how good they are.
I think if you invest your time in watching the storylines and the wrestlers grow now, it'll pay off in future. I think if you just dip in and out of the matches, you won't really understand, and you do need to like keep up with the backstage and stuff like that. And I think people will keep wanting like an invader to come into All Japan and just take over. But I'm like, I don't think that's definitely not what the local audience want, because their reaction to Nakajima was really bad in the end. That I think that's pretty much reason why you won't find him coming back anytime soon. It's not a comment on his personality or his human qualities, but it's just how he was received in that storyline at the time, which is also a very tumultuous time. Like it never stops, does it? But yeah.
I will never get over that time. It was just, yeah.
Did
Especially because
you
I was
yeah.
there. I'm just like, ugh.
It's really strange. I mean he kind of redeemed himself being tag partner with Hokuto, but yeah, I don't think we're in a hurry to have him back.
Yeah. I don't know. All I have to say is just watch All Japan. And if you don't really want to watch it, watch the juniors because they're just as good as the heavyweights.
I was like, if you don't want to watch it, don't just complain about it because you didn't watch it, please.
Yeah, don't be one of those people. What happened to my All Japan? When's the last time you watched All
You
Japan?
didn't watch it. You didn't watch it. Full stop.
Yeah. Okay. Do you have any more thoughts before we sign off?
I think that's my like my that's my like, full rant for like 2025. I'm done for the year, and then we can like meet up in Tokyo and go to the press conference, which would be really fun, and the signing, and go to your Yoyogi and Korakuen Hall. I'm really looking forward to
We can get out of this hot weather. It'll be nice and cool in
it.
Tokyo.
Freezing, freezing. That's what it looks like to me.
It's 37 degrees here, yeah?
Yeah.
I need 11 degrees of Tokyo. This is too hot.
Yeah, okay. It's probably gonna be hot on Christmas Day, then I'll think about it, because I'm leaving on Boxing Day.
Me too.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Cool.
Anyway, so we have reached the end of the final Jumping Knee-Pod episode of 2025. I want to thank everyone for listening and supporting Jumping Knee-Pod this year. A special shout out to everybody who has helped by jumping on the podcast with me this year. Whether you did one episode or more, you are all amazing people. And if you want to find me online, you can find me at Sister Jessie and RoyRoy72 on Twitter and Sister Jessie on Blue Sky. And where can people find you?
I'm at Pianica on Twitter, PIA. Can you spell NICA? Yeah, that's mostly where I just like tweet all my old Japan crap. So,
They're good tweets.
oh, thank you.
But thank you so much for being on this episode.
Thanks a
Yeah,
lot for
and
having
this
me.
year, and just yeah, being the other number one uni fan. So
Oh my goodness, what a year.
yeah.
Oh, I hope he comes back soon. Miss him so much.
So thank you all once again. I have been your host, Jessica, and I will see you next year for more All Japan Pro Wrestling.
Ring Post Radio is the only show hosted by Ryan Knightsey and Scotty Edwards that talks about the entire world of professional wrestling. With new episodes coming out every Sunday, there is absolutely no reason to not listen to real, honest wrestling opinions from two crazy maniacs. Have a hot boy summer and listen along to Ring Post Radio every Sunday on the Countout Network. This has been a Countout Podcast.